And I just got to say with you, I really like to have fun. And today's message is going to be a little bit of a challenge because we're going to talk about some real serious stuff. And I might have gone just a little bit overboard on here because I have there's 14 points in this message, which is a lot of points. And so just because of that, I promise that next Sunday my sermon will be pointless. So we can just balance that out a little bit since we have 14 points to get through today. Today we're going to talk about the topic of grief. And anytime we lose a loved one, we are going to experience an emotional pain accompanying that loss, something that we call grief. And we don't talk about it very much. And so I just thought today would be a good time for us to discuss that topic. And the reason we don't like to talk about it is that grief can be very painful. Hence, it's often something that most of us would like to avoid as much as possible. But today, what I'd like to do is try to combine two words that are usually not associated with each other, the word grief and the word good. Normally, you don't see those together. Now, Charlie Brown's been known to put those words together, but usually as an expression of exasperation. And so the question might be this morning, can grief really be something that is good? Now, I'm hoping today as we talk about grief that the message can be both prescriptive as well as preventive. Meaning, I hope that it helps some of you where you're at today, because some of you walked in here carrying some grief with you. I also hope that it'll help prepare all of us for what we will inevitably encounter in our lives, which is that thing called grief. Now, grief is what you experience anytime there's a significant loss in your life. And remember, it doesn't just have to be the death of someone that you love or someone that you know. I know our community has been grieving a lot because of the suicides of far too many teenagers in our community lately. There's been a lot of grief over that. We also know that grief can result from the death of a dream, like the grief a couple goes through when they're dealing with issues of infertility. A lot of grief there about what the hopes and dreams they had. Grief can happen when a marriage ends in divorce, when you lose a job, or when you experience an important relationship transition. You can go through some grief. This is not very deep grief, but I actually remember experiencing some grief when my best friend from junior high and high school got a steady girlfriend all of a sudden, and I became the odd man out, and I kind of lost that relationship in a significant way. Now, I want to make it clear today that I am not any kind of an expert on grief at all, but just like anyone else, I've had my share of experiences with grief. I have grieved broken relationships that have happened. I've grieved some of the major transitions in life. I've even, some of you guys are more lucky than I've had to grieve the loss of my hair as it continues to want to go away. Years ago, I actually grieved a little bit of the death of a dream. We were in Iowa, and we'd had two sons already, and one of my hopes was on having a little girl, a daughter, in our family. I'd grown up with three sisters, and so I knew that I wanted to have a daughter. We already had the two boys, and so that third pregnancy, I had set all of my hopes on a little girl. Well, that was about the time when ultrasounds were just beginning to be used, and we had an opportunity to have an ultrasound and discover if it was going to be a boy or a girl. Now, that got to be a challenge because I wanted to know. Diane didn't want to know, so I had to try to keep it a secret from her. But I wanted to just be prepared several months in advance, do a little bit of grieving if it was going to be a boy, so that when the day that it came, the baby's born and I say, oh, put it back in. I wanted a boy. That probably wouldn't have gone over very well, but there was a bit of grief at the death of that dream. But of all the losses I think we probably experience, losing someone we love to death is probably one of the most emotionally painful things that can happen to any of us. Now, looking back on my life, the first experience I had with death was when I was just 7 years old. And my grandfather, who was a pretty big part of our life, suddenly died unexpectedly of a heart attack. And since I was just 7 years old, I really couldn't comprehend what his death meant. But what I do remember most was how sad my mother, because it had been her father, how sad she was and how deep her grief seemed to be. I remember experiencing that as a seven-year-old. But then my first real experience with grief came when I was a teenager, and my great uncle died of colon cancer. And he was a great uncle to me in every aspect. Of course, he was because he was the husband of my grandmother's sister. That accounted for how he was a great uncle in one aspect. But he was even more than that because when he married my aunt, they had no children of their own. And he became kind of like a second father to me. We spent a lot of time together. He was a big impact in my life. And when he died, it was the first time that I experienced the true pain of grief. I was just 16 years old. He had been in the hospital for weeks, and I had watched him slowly deteriorate as the cancer stole the life from his body. And I can remember my mother coming into my room the morning that he passed to tell me that he had died. And I remember I felt sad. I shed a few tears in that moment, but I never really grieved until we actually went to the visitation at the funeral home. And I, just to be honest with you, I completely lost it there. I had never cried in my life like I did at that funeral home. And you know what? I have discovered that I'm thankful for that because I allowed myself to grieve. And maybe it was because I saw my mother express her grief when her father passed away that I was able to express my grief so openly. But it was important because it was part of the healing process that my heart needed to experience. Now, since then, there's been others. I lost a cousin to breast cancer, another cousin to suicide. I've lost other family members, and I would say even many church members over the years who were a lot like family to me. And each of those experiences created the emotional pain of grief that in life just is unavoidable. In fact, I'm pretty sure that most of you here have experienced your share of grief. And so I'm just wondering today, how did that grief affect you and how is it affecting you even now? A number of years ago, I came across a book title that caught my attention immediately when I saw it. And the title of the book was Five Things We Cannot Change. And anytime you tell me something can't change, I want to know what that is. And the subtitle of it was, and the happiness we find by embracing them. And here are those five things. Number one, things do not always go according to plan. How many of you say you found that to be true in life? I mean, things just don't always go according to plan. We can't seem to change that. Number two, life's not always fair. And that's what parents try to get their kids to realize most of all. Number three, pain is a part of life, which we know that it is. Number four, people are not loving and loyal all the time, even though we wish they would be. But before I share the fifth one with you, I want us to read what the Bible reveals are some of the inevitable transitions of life that can create these moments of grief that we experience. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Pretty familiar passage of scripture. The Birds wrote a song about it back in the 60s or 70s. And so we've heard these words before, but I want you to think about the implication, the true implication of what's being said here to us. Verse 1, it says, there is a time for everything, and actually a season for every activity under the heavens. There's a time to be born and a time to die. There's a time to plant and a time to uproot. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. There's a time to tear down and a time to build. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Now, we could go on, and the next four verses describe even more of what I would say are almost the predictable pendulum swings of life that we're all going to experience eventually. And what these verses reveal is that the reason we experience grief in life is that everything changes or ends. That's the fifth thing we cannot change, is the fact that everything changes or ends. And that's what happens when something changes or when something ends. Oftentimes we experience grief. And so you know what? Over the years, Diane and I have learned to remind ourselves of this regularly because we find ourselves going through these transitions. And whether something changes or ends, it can be painful because it will likely involve some sort of loss. And loss is one of the inevitable, unavoidable givens in life. And we experience grief almost every time something that we value or love changes or ends. It's been interesting. I was just talking to somebody this morning who was going through a graduation. And she was saying that when the music started to play, Pomp and Circumstance, and she watched her daughter walk down the aisles, tears started to run from her eyes. Why? Because something was changing. Something was coming to an end. So it can be graduations. There's a lot of people I know that cry at weddings. They're a happy time, but what do they represent? They can represent a change or an end. It could be from a lot of different things, a job transfer, aging, or when we go to funerals. And so what I'd like to do today, as I mentioned, too many things to say, but I'd like to offer several, what I would say, important perspectives about grief, and then some helpful strategies to help us deal with grief. So we've got to jump right in. The first perspective that I would really like to offer is that grief is really a good thing. As painful as it is, as much as we would rather enjoy it, the truth is we really should see grief as a gift. And one of the little booklets that I love and like to give to people when they're going through a time of grief has a little statement that I think kind of sums it up. It says, tears are often a gift of God. Tears help to relieve tension that has built up inside of you. Tears say how deeply you feel and how much you care. Tears speak for you when you cannot find words. You never have to be ashamed of honest tears. And see, apparently grief is God's way of helping us release feelings in our heart that can build up over time if we don't learn to express them. And what we all need to recognize is that feelings unexpressed, they don't go away. They just kind of go underground and oftentimes can become very damaging. In fact, one of the reasons why I believe that women tend to be less violent than men is because they don't hold in some of their feelings, do they, guys? They just let it all. Anyway, they're more expressive. But guys, we don't have permission to show our feelings, and so we just stuff them. And then a lot of times they come out in very negative ways. Second important perspective on grief is that grief after a loss is normal. I mean, it's something that we should experience. It's not strange to experience grief after a loss. What would be strange is not experiencing grief. And I think that I'm a lot like everyone else when I would just say this morning, you know, I think that pain is a pain. I don't really enjoy it. But it's important because without it, we would not take care of the damaged parts of us. You know, a sprained ankle needs to be rested. And so what makes us not walk on it? The fact that it hurts. And an infection needs to be treated. And how would we know unless we experience some pain? And so God gave us pain sensors in the various parts of our bodies so that we would be aware that damage has happened and that we needed to do something about it. Well, grief is that emotional pain where God says, hey, something is happening significant. There's been a loss. And we need to care for our heart when we experience grief. So grief is normal. It's natural. It's proof that you have feelings. It's also a signal that something you've lost that's important or valuable to you has been taken away. Next important perspective on grief is that grief is personal. It is personal. And what that means is that we all don't experience grief in the same way, nor do we grieve the same way. Notice what the Bible says in Proverbs 14:10. It says, each heart knows its own bitterness. I'd encourage you to be careful of telling another person, hey, I know exactly how you feel. Because the truth is, you don't know exactly how they feel. You might be able to imagine it, but you don't know exactly how they feel. And you know, for many years, we were told that there was a process of grief that everyone went through. And the reason for that is in 1969, a lady by the name of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross wrote a book on death and dying. And she identified five stages of grief and loss. They're denial and isolation, anger, bargaining, depression, and then acceptance. And what happened is people began to assume that those were successive steps that everyone went through when experiencing grief. Well, what we've discovered is that she never intended them to be really a descriptive path that everybody has to follow. In fact, what we know now is that people who are grieving do not necessarily go through the stages in the same order, nor do they even experience all of them. And what that means is that while we all experience grief, we don't all grieve in the same way. Another important perspective on grief is to recognize this. Grief is a process, not an event. We would wish it would just be an event. Many people think that the grieving process is something that should just happen, and then you get over it and move on. And our thought is, well, hey, let's just hurry up and get this grief thing done with so that I can get on with my life. But that's not the way it works. Grief doesn't just happen and then it's gone. I was just talking to somebody here who had lost a loved one, and months later, all of a sudden, the grief is showing up again, and they're like, what is wrong? See, we need to recognize that healing and recovery is not a smooth progression, as many people assume. It's full of ups and downs, of progressions and regressions, of dramatic leaps, and then depressing backslides as we get away from where we thought we were. So the question is not if we will experience grief. It's really when we experience grief, what will happen? And the next question might be, well, how is the experience of grief different for those who are Christ followers from those who are not? Should there be any difference? And the answer, of course, is yes. We know that because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. Two things ought to be noticed about that statement. Christians are not exempt from grieving. It doesn't say that if you're a Christian, you don't have to grieve. It just says that the way we grieve is going to look different from the world because we have the hope of Christ in us, and that makes all the difference. And so let's go ahead and jump in. I want to talk today, give you some strategies for how to experience good grief in your life. How can it be more of a positive thing than a negative thing? Now, I realize good grief, those words may sound like a bit of an oxymoron, but I believe grief is a gift from God that allows us to be able to share the things that are going on in our lives. And I'm going to use an acrostic of the words good grief, which means I'm going to offer you 9 suggestions for helping with grief. And help it to become the gift that God intended it to be. Now, let's just be honest, 9 is a lot. And so rather than try to keep track of all 9, what I would do is just encourage you to pick the 1 or 2 or 3 that would make the most difference for you when you experience grief. So let's get started. Letter G, if you're going to experience good grief, you first of all need to give yourself permission to grieve. It's okay when you've experienced loss, it's okay to grieve. Now again, ladies, I think do a little bit better than that because boys, for too long, we've heard the saying, big boys don't cry. Okay, so I'm gonna be tough. I'm gonna lock it in. I'm not gonna express myself. And what that reminds me is that one of the strangest scenes in the Bible is captured, I think, in what is often cited as the shortest verse in the Bible. And it's just 2 simple words found in John 11:38. Do you know what those words are? Jesus wept. And what's so interesting about that is why was Jesus weeping? Now remember, those words were written when he was standing at the tomb of his friend Lazarus who had died. And he'd already talked to Lazarus' 2 sisters, and they had kind of bugged Jesus, said, if you'd been here, he probably would be okay. And so they were grieving a little bit more, and it was a very grieving thing. And then all of a sudden, Jesus goes to the tomb, and he's weeping. Now, what was strange about that? What's strange is because in the next moment, Jesus knew he was going to say, Lazarus, come out of the grave. And Lazarus was going to walk out of there. Everybody was going to love him and embrace him. And there was going to be a great celebration. Why was Jesus weeping? I think he was weeping because he was giving us permission to grieve ourselves. Even though we know, that we're going to see that loved one when we get to heaven, the message is clear. We have permission to grieve. Letter O. When you're going to grieve, if you want it to be good, make sure you occupy your thoughts with God's promises. The Bible is full of verses that offer comfort and hope. One of my favorites is Psalm 34, verse 18, which says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who is crushed in spirit. And that's what we need to be filling our minds with when we're going through those difficult things. And as important as it is to be aware of what we're thinking when we're experiencing grief, it's also important to be able to direct our thoughts. And we need to remind ourselves in those moments that what God says is true. One of the books I read recently that I really appreciated was written by one of my favorite authors, Mark Batterson. And his statement, I think, is so true. He says, it's okay to talk to God about your problems, but at some point you need to talk to your problems about God and redirect those thoughts. And here's a great example of that right from the Bible. In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul poses the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Because hasn't there been a time when you've said, hey, wonder where God is? He seems to be, abandoned me in the midst of this struggle. And then Paul actually lists the possible circumstances. But then here's how he directs his thoughts in Romans 8, 37 through 39. Listen to it. He says, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need to make sure that we occupy our thoughts with God's promises. Next letter, O, open yourselves up to others. When your soul has been wounded, it's okay to let others help you. In fact, the Bible says that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens. In Galatians 6:2, it says, carry each other's burdens, and this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. One of the best ways I see that happening in our church is that we have a group of ladies that are widows. They've lost their husbands. They're called the single sisters. And they get together and help each other because they know what they've walked through and what they experience at that moment. And there are people, I would say, who've already walked the path that maybe you're on in your grief, and they can help you find their way because they've already walked through that valley. Letter D, discern the emotions that you're experiencing. Now, when you feel pain, you're going to experience a lot of different emotions. And emotions are powerful things. And sometimes we have the tendency to give our emotions control over us. But that's not how God intended them. What he intended them to be is to serve like a warning light on the dashboard of our car. When we experience the emotion, it's like the light goes on. And we know, hey, something is not right. There's something I need to take care of. The challenge is that grief can generate a wide range of emotions. And you may be surprised when you're grieving at the different things that you may feel: sorrow, hurt, disappointment, discouragement, even anger and frustration. And anytime we experience painful emotion, the challenge is it can default right away to anger or frustration. You ever come to anybody who's grieving and they get angry and frustrated? And that happens if we haven't identified what we're really feeling and respond accordingly. Letter G, guard yourself against depression. Guard yourself against depression. When you're in the midst of grief, it can be easy to slip into depression. And depression happens in our lives when our focus is on how things used to be, and then we realize that they will never be the same again, and we get stuck there. That leads right to depression. And depression only darkens our thinking, which often makes the situation even worse. Letter R, recognize that time is required. If you're going to get through grief, it's not just going to happen and be over. We need to give ourselves time, maybe even a season to grieve. It might even be helpful for you to set a time and say, you know what, this is pretty serious. So over the next month or over the next 2 months, I'm going to allow myself the privilege of being able to grieve. And when you allow yourself to grieve in a healthy way, what you'll find is the intensity of your feelings should diminish over time. Now, you know what they say is that time heals all wounds. But that's only if the wounds are properly being cared for. If the wounds aren't healthy, they can actually get worse. So we let those wounds heal. Letter I, identify difficult times and places. When you're grieving, there could be times, dates, or places where you go that are going to accentuate your grief, and you ought to be aware of that. Have you ever been caught in a rainstorm without an umbrella or a jacket, and you'd read the weather report and just forgot to take it along, and then you'd end up going, wow, I wish I would have remembered that. Well, that's what it can be like when we haven't considered some of the extra challenging times during the year. You know, last year in March, we were celebrating the birth of our grandson, Lincoln, who lives in St. Louis. And what some of you may or may not know is that Lincoln was a twin. But 5 months into the pregnancy, they discovered something called twin transfusion syndrome, and they lost one of our little grandsons. And looking over this last year, I've so appreciated our daughter-in-law, Brooke, acknowledging the grief at some important times, like last June when they did a parent baby dedication of Lincoln. And they said, hey, you know what? There was another child that we could dedicate, or at Mother's Day. when she acknowledges that loss and she just recognizes that. And so there's going to be many dates and times that will maybe intensify your feelings of grief, holidays, birthdays, memorable moments. And just being aware of that and putting some guidelines around that, some guards can be helpful. Letter E, expect some ups and downs. It's pretty natural to think, hey, I've gotten past my grief and I've moved on, only to find yourself waking up one day and you're an emotional wreck. Expect some ups and downs. And then letter F, focus on the future and not the past. See, the challenge is grief can keep us trapped in the past, especially if we're unwilling to accept that everything changes or ends. You do know that yesterday ended last night. We can't go back there. We have no control over the past, which is why whenever we try to live there, we often feel completely defeated. Now, I need to close with one final perspective on grief. And it's just a reminder for all of us that grief is not something to get over. We so want to move on sometimes we're in the midst of grief. We just like to get over it, but that's probably not going to happen. And the reason it's probably not going to happen is sometimes people move in their lives from one grief to another. I've seen people lose family members, have a lot of different things happen. It's more likely that we're going to encounter more grief-producing experiences, which is why we all need to learn to expect and accept and allow grief to do its healing work in our hearts. In fact, every one of us in this room needs to learn in a healthy way to interact with grief, because of that thing we cannot change, and that is that everything changes or ends. The relationships we're in, the life we're living, all of those things are going to end. But let me remind you, and we'll wrap it up with this note. Even grief will someday come to an end. It can be helpful to remember when we're going through grief that a time is coming when grief is no longer going to be something we experience. Brought a box of these up on stages today because, man, when we're grieving, it's nice to have a box of Kleenex around. I'm glad somebody invented that because it's so helpful when we need to dry the eye because we're going through a moment of grief. But if you remember a couple weeks ago when we talked about the book of Revelation, the Bible says that the time and the day is coming when the makers of Kleenex are going out of business. Because there's not going to be a need any longer. And let me remind you of that passage of scripture in Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4, where it says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying," and if you're going through grief right now and struggling to get through, just again, this time is coming. "Look, God's dwelling place is now with the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God." And here's what's going to happen there. "He is going to wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, because the old order of things has passed away." So really, everything does change or end, even our grief someday, and we need to hang on to that thought. Let's pray. Father, you know how hard it is for every one of us here to go through the pain of grief. But Father, we also know that you've gone through that loss as well. You gave your one and only Son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Father, we look forward to that day when you are going to wipe away every tear from our eye and there won't be any more death or mourning or crying or pain. But Father, until that day arrives, I would just pray that you would help us to allow grief to be the gift that you intended it to be. And that when those moments of pain hit, that we would lean heavy into our relationship with you and allow ourselves to grieve and let our hearts heal as you promise to be the God of love and comfort to each one of us. Father, in the midst of our pain, remind us what a good Father, you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.